Hello, you guys. I hope you're well. Today's guest is a perfect example to showcase that nothing is impossible. She's working towards representing UAE in the Olympics this year. And she's here to share her journey with us. So yeah, let's go and meet her. Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. First of all, I think I should congratulate you for your participation in the Asia Cup and the World Championship Series.
Thank you. So the World Championship Series actually didn't take place in the end. Like, they had to cancel the event.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the storm in Abu Dhabi was really bad.
Oh, yeah. That was the week.
But that race was like the dream race because I was going to go into like the elite section with like the goats of triathlon.
Oh, no.
I was really excited, but... It wasn't our day.
Okay. I think maybe there's something more waiting for you. So this was like, you know, take a break, take a rest.
That's what I'm telling myself. Because I was really like, that is the dream come true. Like competing with that level of athletes was like, it's the dream.
Yeah.
So, but it just didn't happen. Like the weather was a disaster. But I think we were all flooded.
So I think the fair question to start off would be, was this always something that you wanted to do or become? Because it's not easy, the kind of discipline that goes into it and the kind of routine that you have to put in.
Yeah.
So when did you realize that you wanted to be this athlete that you are?
So funny enough, I didn't know what a triathlon was till 2019. I've never heard of a triathlon, never knew people did three different sports in under one discipline. But prior to actually discovering triathlon, I was a runner. So I was an ultra runner. I was a track runner. I used to do my first ever ultra marathon. I was 16. I ran 242 kilometers from the Dead Sea to the Red Sea. Did a bunch of like ultras, a bunch of non-ultra races as well. And then 2019 was the year I discovered triathlon. It wasn't even me discovering triathlon. My cousin, Kareem, kind of comes to me because I was known in my family as this like ridiculous, like I do silly stuff in their heads.
Yeah.
So my cousin comes to me, he's like, have you ever heard of Iron Man? I'm like, no, what's Iron Man? And so we're Googling it and I'm like, there's no way this is real. Like, it was like a 4K run, 180 kilometer bike ride, 42 kilometer run. I'm like, there's no way anyone does this. What's this race?
Yeah.
He's like, it's a triathlon. It's called Iron Man. It's like the ultimate race. And so he kind of not dared me. We kind of had a bet that he thought I couldn't do it.
Okay.
And I told him I can. And then he was like, okay, fine. 2 years. I was like, no, I'll do it in 1 year. And that's kind of how it started. So, and then I started training for this Ironman. I signed up for an Ironman in Cozumel, Mexico. COVID hit a few months after, which, if anything, was a benefit for me because I was able to completely, like, my life was literally just training. So I stayed very fit during COVID. And I was in Toronto at the time. So, like, the lockdown there was horrible. It was a 3-year lockdown. Like, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
But I was able to train. But throughout all of this, before doing that Ironman, I thought I signed up for a full Ironman. And one of my friends decides to do it with me. He's like, Hannah, are you sure you signed up for a full? I'm like, yeah. Like, here's the email. Like, it's a full Ironman Cozumel race. He's like, Hannah, I think you signed up for the 70.3 Ironman. So there's two distances.
Okay.
There's the half Ironman, full Ironman.
Okay.
I'm like, no, there's no way. Like, I signed up for the full one. Turns out Cozumel has two, because usually each country will have like either full Ironman or half Ironman.
Okay.
It had both of them in a span of a week apart. So I had no idea what an arm, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I just signed up for this thing. And I didn't know what a 7.3 was. Like, even if I did sign up for I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So and then I ended up like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing half the distance. I've been training like a crazy person for the past nearly year. But thankfully, it was a 70.3 that I signed up for, because the race kept getting pushed over and over because of COVID. And then eventually, I think it was 2021, it took place. And I had not swam whatsoever for training because we were in lockdown. I remember at some point I was trying to find hacks, and some guy recommended like on YouTube to use your bathtub. And for some reason, I thought that was a smart idea. I'm a tall woman. Like, I can't fit in a bathtub to train. And so that lasted not even a millisecond. Like I sat in the, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like how do people swim? So I literally went into this race with zero swimming. I get to Mexico, I want to say 2-3 weeks before the race, because in my head, I'm like, if they cancel the flights, the airport's closed, I just want to make sure, because everything was unstable at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to make sure I'm in Mexico, and this race happened. I lost my mind at that point. I was training for years, and the race just kept going. And like, it just kept getting postponed. So I get to Mexico, I'm like, okay, I should swim train. You know, like, this is something I should be doing. I haven't done it in 2 years. I've never done it. Like, not even 2 years, but...
Yeah.
I'm swimming in the sea. I'm like, wow, this is easy. Like, why do people complain about swimming? Turns out I was swimming like 200 meters and I had no idea. In my head, I thought it was thought it was kilometers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how slow I was. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just swimming. I'm like, what? It's not bad. Like, why do people complain about the swim? I got to the race and I learned I was swimming 200 meter swims because the swim I did was a 3 kilometer swim. I extended my swim by 1.5 kilometers. Because I just kept going the wrong direction.
No.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing. A fish went into my tri-suit, attacked me. I had like blood coming down my neck. And I, like, at that point, I was swimming like a French crawl, but I was also doing, I don't know what I was doing. I was doing a bunch of different swims that I've seen in movies and whatever it was.
And you were training all by yourself?
All by myself, all through YouTube, all through like just Googling things. Not recommended. I wouldn't recommend it now that I know better. but like I remember, there was a safety boat. Some girl went and pulled down the boat because she was trying to, like, something happened, and the boat flipped on me.
Panic.
Yeah, she like panicked or something, but the boat flipped on me and I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I found a rope connected to the boat, and I had to go through the rope hole and come out. I'm like, what the hell is this? Why do people do this stuff? And this is just the beginning part of the race. So in my head, I'm like, why does anyone do this? I get to the end of the race. I have never cried so much in my entire life, but from happiness. And the second it finished, I'm like, I want to do this again.
Wow.
And I didn't, like, looking back now, I'm like, what made me in all of this?
Yeah, there was nothing positive that would have said, no, like, you had to continue and...
At all. And prior to this race as well, I was hospitalized because I got a heat stroke. I was in the hospital for like 2 days, and like they're putting like IV because it was a really bad heat stroke. I couldn't stop vomiting. It was like a disaster. And the doctors were like, you can't do this race. Like, it's really hot. I think it was like 39 degrees. It was really hot. Like, it wasn't, it was something I've never experienced. Like,
Mexico, right? You said?
Yeah, Mexico. And, but I still did it out of stubbornness. I'm like, I don't care if I have to crawl. To the end, I will do it. Like, I've trained for this long. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm like, I just want to do it. So I did it. And I actually crawled to the finish line. And I've never cried so much in my entire life. And I remember my sister was there. And she calls my grandma and my dad that were here on bottom. And I was running, I think, my last, like, 500 meters or, like, last kilometer. And they were all running with me. So that, for me, was, like, wow. It was so beautiful. And I get to the finish line. And yeah, I was like bawling my eyes out. And I think for a whole week, I literally felt like I was on top of the world. I was like, this is crazy. Like it was amazing. But then from there, I kind of became obsessed with the whole triathlon world. Funny enough, like the experience wasn't a good experience. But it became very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So from there, I went and did... my first 7.3, I was the first Emirati to... youngest Emirati to ever do the 7.3. And then... I saw an opportunity there as well. I was like, wait, like, how am I the youngest one? Started looking into a lot of things here and went on to doing a second 70.3.
Okay.
And I got second place in either GCC or the UAE category. It was something, I can't remember what it was. But then I was like, okay, that's interesting. And I remember the second 70.3, I didn't really train for it either. It was kind of out of the womb. I was like, I just want to do as many as I possibly can. And I remember I was here at that time trying to move, like, I was moving back to Dubai. So, like, in that period, I was like, oh, they have the Dubai one. Let me do it.
Yeah.
And then my whole family come and watch this one. And this one, I went with no stress. This one, I was like, I experienced the first one.
Home.
Like, yeah, I was like, how bad can this one be? It was bad. Like, it was bad.
And were you still training alone at this point?
I was still training alone. But after the first 7.3, I didn't train much after it.
Okay.
I was just, like, it was, I don't know. I just didn't train much. I was just trying to live my life. I was trying to find a job because it was also like it was a rocky time for anyone, I guess, to find a job or stay in a job. But then I did the second one, and towards the end I felt better, like I felt stronger, even though I didn't train that much before. And then I started doing smaller distances, and I started seeing that I'm able to actually hit decent numbers in the shorter distances, like the sprint triathlons, Olympic triathlons. Yeah. And I became obsessed. Like, it was that, I think that's the term I'll give it. Like, I was obsessed with the sport. I love to understand how our bodies were able to actually how are we capable of doing three different sports, get stronger in all three different sports? How are you using one body muscle but not the other two to get yourself through this race? There were so many things about it that was just very interesting to me. And for me, once I get like fixated on something, I want to know the beginning, I want to know the middle, I want to know the end.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, how far can I go with the sport?
Yeah.
And I kept training. And then I was like, if I want to do something crazy, I need to make sure I have a group of people that are just as crazy as I am.
Yeah.
And so my current coach was a guy I was looking for. I've heard of him so many times, even in Canada. He was known as this. He was insane. The guy made the impossible possible. Like, it wasn't, he did something called the UAE Man Challenge. And I can't give the specific distances, but it was something ridiculous. Like, it wasn't like, I think it was like 30 kilometer swim, followed by like the Everest elevation of like, I think it was maybe 300 kilometers or something. And then went on for like a 100 kilometer run in the span of like 5 days or something.
Sounds like a legend.
No, he is a legend. So I was looking for him for, I want to say a good month. I was trying to find him, trying to get in contact with him. And a friend of mine is like, I have his number, like, message him. And at this period, I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to get qualified for the Olympics. So I message him, and I send him like a whole paragraph. I'm like, listen, like, I've been trying to find you. One, I got your number from my friend, and this is my plan. I want you to coach me. I get a message from him. Like, I sent him a message, maybe it was like, I want to say maybe 9 hours later. I get a message from him at like, I think it was, I don't remember what time it was, but it was like, meet me at 9 a.m. here. I'm like, crap. Like, okay, this is happening. Yeah. So I go meet him, and he was on board. He was on board, and I was like, okay, we're doing this. I was like, okay. And he gave me like, there was a time trial period of like 2 months, I want to say, to understand exactly where I am at. Because prior to this, I was training by myself, doing everything by myself. I didn't know anything. Yeah. I was using a mountain bike helmet on a road bike, which is like, I don't know, was even, I don't know, I thought people just wear helmets. Yes. Like, I was that naive about everything to do with triathlon. Even my biking shoes were wrong. I was using mountain biking shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm like on a road. Like, it was everything I was doing was just wrong, but because I was using Google. So he basically, he turned me from, I'm not even the term amateur. He turned me from nothing to an elite athlete.
Yes.
And that is something I don't think that's unheard of, because a lot of people train from a very young age to get to this point.
You said 2019 is
2019. And when people ask me how long I've been doing this, I'm like, I don't think you're going to be happy with my like timeline, because it's crazy. Like, it's, but I literally give it all to him. Like, we have strategized in every way possible. He's pushed me in every aspect of myself to get to where we are today. And with all of that, we were able to get qualified for the Asia Games. I was the first woman of the UAE to get into triathlon with that. And we're aiming for the stars, you know, and I believe we're going to do it. Yeah. It's, if you were to have met me 2 years ago, you wouldn't even, like, I'm not the same person. I don't even know who that person was anymore. And I give every win of mine to him. He believed in me from day one, pushed me in every angle possible to get to where we are today.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what next year is going to look like or the year after. So yeah, like, he made everything possible, basically. And it literally took that one person to believe in me to get me to where I am today.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I remember it was, I'd tell some of my friends here and there, they'd laugh at me. They're like, kind of, the Olympics, man, like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, why not?
Why not?
I told my dad, I remember, and he just fist bumped me. He's like, let's do it. And he also gave me the strategy. We sat down, he's like, listen, you want to do something that's crazy? You need to find the best in every angle. You need to find the best coach,
yeah.
the best physio,
yeah.
the best whatever, and went on. He's like, if you have the best around you, you will become the best.
Yeah.
So that was the strategy we built. So I found the best coach. I found the best physio. I found
everything. It's a teamwork, like, right?
It's a team. I found the best team. I found everything I could possibly think of. I had to find the best of
yeah.
to make myself the best.
Yes.
So it's your surrounding end of the yes. day. And thankfully, we are where we are today. There's still a long way ahead.
Yeah.
But like, I could have never imagined me where I am today.
At least you have now the base sorted.
Yeah.
It's very strong. They always say, like, once the base is strong, you exactly. can keep building.
Yeah.
You know, initially, I think for you, the thing was, you were strong enough. You knew what you wanted. But the base was all rocky and you were not able to grow. It was yeah. just like, you know. But now you have a solid root that is already there.
Yeah.
Now it's just sky. You and can't keep.
What also helped with all of this was a lot of people, like, everyone has their own reason of doing certain things for whatever it is. Everything I've ever done in my life had to have a purpose. So I won't just decide, like, oh, I want to climb Mount Everest for just wanting to climb Mount Everest. I yeah. need to have a real, like, rooted reason for me to actually be able to do it.
Yeah.
I'm driven by purpose. So, like, even jobs I've had in the past, a lot of them, I couldn't even last 3 months. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just feeding into this capitalist world. There is no purpose.
Yeah.
I'm just a number in this company. I would end up quitting. The amount of jobs I've quit because I lost myself
yeah.
is because there was no purpose behind it. I was not benefiting the world. I wasn't changing anything. I was just an added number in an organization, which is no shame in that, but like, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, I always felt there was more in yeah. this life.
100%.
So when I wanted to do this was, so initially also when I was doing all these 70.3s, the base foundation turned, because the bet wasn't like what got me to the end. I forgot about it by the time
yeah.
the race happened. But I started a charity that basically we were able to like raise, I think it was one of the initiatives, we got up to like $30,000
wow.
for an amputee program in Palestine.
It's amazing.
So everything had a purpose behind it. And that was something that would keep driving me to keep training and wake up and do whatever it was,
yeah.
especially in a very uncertain time of yeah. everyone's life.
Yes.
I needed to make sure that there was a reason. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So why was I doing it? Because I was trying to raise money for amputee programs, for refugee camps.
Yes.
There was also, I think, I went around 300 families in a camp in Jordan called Jerash Gaza camp. And we were able to rebuild the rooftops,
wow.
Give them zinc, heaters, food, coupons. And that was all based off the races.
Yes.
So with that, when I decided I want to do the Olympics, why did I want it? Why is my goal yeah. the Olympics? Why would I decide to go and not throw everything out of my life, but like close so many books in my life? Was I like, it wasn't just, there were so many reasons, but like I want a few of them would be for the generation after me.
Yeah.
So I'm a dyslexic and I also have ADHD.
Yes.
And growing up, I was always put in like in a box, like, oh, she can't do this. She shouldn't yeah. go into that.
That's like fine. A fragile sticker.
Yeah. And telling, like, teachers would tell me, like, oh, like, go into, like, let's say there was something called BTEC in high school instead of A levels, because BTEC, it was much easier. Like, there was no, it wasn't exam based, it was very project based.
Yeah.
So I was always undermined. And there, like, I was always like pushed down.
This is not for you. This is not for
you.
Yeah,
everything was, this is not for you. You can't do this. I remember yeah. at some point I went to like go into like psychology, and the end game was that was like getting a PhD. And same thing, it's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, look into this, or like yeah. maybe that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
So this is one of the reasons, like, I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're in a box. And I know a few like kids that have dyslexia or that go through what I went through. So I also want to show them that there is so much more. You literally could create your own life. So this was one of the reasons. Another reason is women in sports. Women are not, maybe specifically, I want to specifically say Arab women,
yes.
are not, we're not supported in the way men are. Which fair, I guess, for the past, like maybe there wasn't that many women athletes, not many women trying to accomplish the 1% of sports.
Yeah.
But now I think that it's because there is lack of opportunity. I yeah. don't think it's because there isn't women that could do it. I think there's a lot of women that could do it. But so many doors are closed.
Yeah.
So one of my main goals is to make sure I open them.
Yes.
So my goal is never to win any race. It's to open up a door for the next race. And then open up a door for the next race. So the Olympics, realistically, I will not win gold. Nor will I be top three. Nor will I be top 10. But would I be able to finish the race? For sure. So that's the door I want to open. So obviously, you aim for the stars.
Yes.
So let's say I get gold, amazing.
Yes.
But looking at things in statistically and realistically, will I hit top three? No. Unless a miracle happens, or like if I try to get into the Olympics again in 10 years or whatever it is, that's possible. But with the time period that we have, that's not possible.
Yeah.
What's possible is hitting a good number, finishing the race, and that alone is a huge accomplishment. But opening up the doors for the women
forever, like that would be like, you know, the gates are open now. Exactly. It's endless possibilities to say, somebody did it.
Yeah.
We can, why not give it a try kind of opportunity?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's time for change. And if I have the motivation and I'm like determined to do it, then why not? Why can't I do it? Let me try. And I want to change the sports world. That's essentially as well one of the things. Like, I want to change the sports world. There is so many opportunities here. So many people look at sports and athletes as not a full-time job. It is a full-time job. You cannot have a full-time job and be a full-time athlete.
Yeah.
That is simply impossible. You're either not going to be performing 100% of your full-time job or not performing 100% for your athletic career.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's also a funding scheme that I'm trying to work on. How a lot of countries, a lot of governments, whatever it is, they want results before
sponsoring. Yeah.
But how can someone get to that point without the funding?
Yeah.
It's like the chicken or the egg type of situation. Yeah. Was it the chicken or was it the egg? We'll never know.
Yeah.
But why not try a new strategy? Like, I don't know any country, I think, in the world that pay athletes like it's a full-time job. You have to get endorsed. You have to get sponsored. You have to get... There's a bunch of things, and it's that alone is a huge fight.
You know, even I think, even if they do, it's very little to just have a meal.
Exactly. And
they will give you a bed to sleep. That's it. But for a person, that's not enough, because he might have to support his family or he has to do something. So having a funding to say, you concentrate just on this, we will take care of all the backlogs that you have, which would have been done maybe with the job, we'll give you at least 50 or 80% of that, saying, give you 100%, train, rest, leave it on us, kind of a...
Exactly. And it is a job. That's the thing. It's like, it's very undermined. It is a job. There's so much traveling. There is so much spending on, let's say, for a triathlon, a bike. You can't even imagine how expensive bikes are. And how are you going to compete on a very high level? You need an expensive bike. You can't go and buy like a 2,000, 3,000 dirham bike.
Yeah.
It's going to be around 40 to 60K for a bike.
Yeah.
And how is someone going to afford that? So people want results before the funding, but how can the results come without the funding? So that is another thing I want to change in sports. It's an athlete. Being an athlete is a job. It's not, and I always get asked, they're like, oh, do you do this full time? I'm like, well, yes.
What
like,
other ways
this? Well, how else am I meant to be doing this? Anytime I'm like, maybe I should try get a part time job now, my schedule gets filled up with races. I'm like, and here, no part time job. So this is a big thing as well that I want to change. It's the importance of sports.
Yeah.
The importance of sports within a community.
Yes.
There is so much more to it that people don't look at.
Yeah.
And that's not their fault. It's just because it hasn't been put out there for them to be aware of a situation like this.
Yeah.
So there is a whole bunch of reasons why I'm doing this. Essentially, I'm looking for change in a positive way. And I want to say maybe specifically it is focused on women rather than anything else. But thankfully, I will say this, the UAE has been very supportive of me. Like throughout my entire journey from day one, they have been encouraging me to be on this path. Which people would think on the contrary, like an Arab country supporting women. No, I've been so blessed that I have an insane support system, and I'll forever be grateful for every single person. And like everyone knows who they are that has gotten me to the point that I am here today.
You know, you said one very important bit where, you know, they keep asking you about your length of how long you've been doing this.
Yeah.
And you said it's from 2019. And also, when you get into certain activities, they want you to start young.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, have you started this? Because they say when you start, when you're 5, 6, 7, it gives you that kind of a thing. But also where you touched upon saying, if there's no infrastructure or funding for this, how does a 7-year-old start doing this, not worrying about when he or she is 20?
Exactly.
They have a kind of a thing where they can depend on to make money.
So that's another thing. So it's with my whole concept that I have in my head, it's creating a funding scheme, not just for people in their, like, post 18. It's creating a funding scheme from a very young age.
Yes.
And I think it's very possible to do. It's just finding the right people, finding the right group, finding the right investors and connections to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because how are stars born?
Yeah.
They're made at a very young age.
Yes.
So a fellow triathlete, her name is Afra. She is 12 years old right now. And this girl will bring back a gold medal for the UAE. I guarantee that.
Wow.
But how is she going to do that? She needs support.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she is getting support or not. But from what I know, in a global stance, it is so hard for anyone to get that financial support.
Yeah.
And it's so important. Because this girl, when I tell you, she will get a gold medal back for this country. Yeah. And it's no doubt. And not just in, like, the Asia Cup or the World Cups or whatever. She will get it in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And she's an insane athlete. And she's only 12. So in my head, I'm like, she's also someone I want to make sure brings back this medal for the UAE. But how's that going to happen? She's not going to be able to pull up the fight that I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
She's 12.
Yeah.
So I want to open up these doors for her.
You know, while the world is busy sponsoring 40-year-old men like Messi's and the Cristiano Ronaldo's,
you're giving them
millions and billions where they have nothing more to achieve. They're done with their career. But what is the next generation?
Exactly. And that's
put the money.
That's an important one, because when I say she's an insane swimmer, an insane cyclist, and she's a very good runner. But how is she going to get to the next level? That's the question.
Yeah.
You need funding. It cannot be assumed that someone's able to afford doing something.
Yeah.
The bike maintenance alone is thousands of dirhams.
Yeah.
Travel, thousands of dirhams, hotels, thousands of dirhams.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
It cannot be assumed the family will do it.
Yeah.
It should be assumed that if you're representing a country, the country will support you.
Yeah.
So, but then again, it's not a UAE thing. It's a global thing.
Yeah.
And it takes one country to create a whole domino effect.
Yeah.
So what if the UAE is the first country to look at athletes as, this is a full-time job, we're going to give them a salary.
Yeah.
That creates a domino effect.
Yeah.
This creates more opportunity, brings in more athletes. Because one of the main reasons, there's a lot of pro athletes out there in the world, but there isn't even remotely close to how much there would be if this funding scheme works.
Yeah.
Because majority of the time, like, I've competed with insane people in the UAE. They're not professionals,
but
they hit probably better numbers than the Tokyo 2020 triathlon numbers. And I've always wondered, I'm like, why haven't they gone to that level?
It's
because they need funding.
Yeah.
How are they meant to have this as a full-time job, have kids, pay for everything, but get no money? Like, they need it. It's a well-rounded, just like, it starts up with creating a company that, with a whole bunch of investors. I'm still in the, like, strategy part of it, but, like, it's basically essentially getting around 10 to 15 people and getting them as investors with, let's say, around 15 to 20 athletes starting off there, letting them get results because we've given them the funding. And obviously, there'd be a scheme. Like, it's like, you don't do this for the next 2 years, you're out. Your contract has closed.
Yeah.
So it's creating something that's tangible and something that's realistic and long-term.
Yeah.
That is going to create a huge shift in the region.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main things. I want to build a credibility within my credentials of being in the Asia Games. Inshallah, going into the Olympics.
Yeah.
Inshallah, doing the Asia Games again.
Yes.
Inshallah, doing, like, World Games. All these ways to build a form of credibility.
Yeah.
To be able to do all of this.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm doing it for change. I'm doing it for there's something so much, so beautiful about sports, and I don't want it to go away.
Yeah.
So if I need to bust myself for it and fight for God knows how long, I'll do it. Because then the next generation will have it, and it will be the most beautiful thing ever.
That's something so beautiful. I remember when I met you the first time and we were talking about this, you know, of inviting you to the podcast.
Yeah.
And you were just talking about everything was about bringing in change. Like, you know, that was the first thing I was, like, listening to you saying that I'm doing this because because it was never like, I'm doing this for me.
No, I got nothing out of it, essentially. Like, it's, if I was doing it solely for myself, I would have stopped ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, I've had so many bad experiences in so many races and just in well-roundedness in sports. Like, it's more cons than there are pros. So I would have stopped ages ago. Like, it wouldn't have been, you can't be driven by something that's
very monetary kind of
intrinsic. Like, yeah, it has to be something that's very extrinsic.
Yes.
So that's essentially what it is. Yeah.
Like, if I could ask you, like, you know, you are so strong, you are positive, you approach everything with so much, you know, stubbornness.
Yes,
that, you know,
yes.
But with that, how do you mentally keep yourself together? Because what little I've seen from your routine is discipline, 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 from waking up to 4 a.m. or maybe earlier to going to bed at 7 p.m.
No, we don't do earlier than 4.
Okay, thankfully.
No, I say no. I sleep.
Because remember, now we are sitting here and I'm shooting the podcast for the first time in the daytime.
Yeah.
Because you go to bed at 7 p.m.
Yeah, I go, like, I'm in bed by, like, I'm sleeping by 9.
So how do you put all of this together and still mentally keep yourself in a level check?
So you think that I'm on a level check? It's honestly the hard, like, being an athlete is not easy, and it does take a huge mental toll, especially when you, like, bust your, like, your entire self of being to train and do whatever and not get the results that you hoped for. And it's not because you can't do it. There's external circumstances that happen. For example, humidity for me is not something I could train, like, I could race in.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't know till you get there, till you get to the race place. So then your results are obviously not a reflection of your training.
Yeah.
So then it gets to you mentally. Like, it's like, I want to say specifically, I think the biggest, like, I don't even know what term to give it, downfall was after the Asia Games. So that race was something we were working towards, me and my coach, for a while. And I went into training camps and, like, in the Alps in the summer. I went and did, God knows how many races in the summer. Like, I haven't had an off season since I started. But no such thing as off season for me. So off season is basically when, like, I think it's like a good month or 2 months where athletes just are not training.
Yeah.
Or, like, they take their time off. And usually it's, like, December, or depending where you are in the world, but, like, or the season.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's, like, from beginning of December till, like, mid-January or beginning of January. So you have, like, a decent, like, month and a half. I don't have that because I have a very short...
window to train.
Yeah, a very short window, and I don't have time. Yeah. So it's... I've been on season for a very long time. So after the Asia Games, like, after knowing how much we put in, the amount of travel, I think I was on maybe, I want to say, 8 planes in the span of, like, a short period as well, because I had to go from one place to another place to another place for a training camp to another race. I even went to a race in Saudi. I was there for 24 hours, came back here, and I'm literally like, I'm done. I can't. I had a race 2 weeks after.
Shit.
I think last year, I don't know how many races I did. I did a lot of races. There was some back-to-back, like, I'd have on Saturday and then one Sunday. We put in everything you could possibly think of. And then I got to China, and it was the first and the huge race that I've done. So, like, the Asia Games, like, I'm sure you know, like, it's a Olympic affiliated race. It's insane. It's a huge opportunity. It's basically the Olympic experience.
It's giving you a glimpse of what to expect.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got there, and it was the most beautiful place ever. And it was so hot. Even though we thought it was going to be cold, that was the forecast. It was meant to be cold, but not cold. It was, like, Dubai cold. So we were all told to get, like VR hoodies or, like, cardigans. You didn't need any of that. It was really hot, very humid. And as the race was building up, I started freaking out. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, crap. And I'd message my coach. I'm like, okay. And I'm, like, giving him my strategies about 10 million things. He's like, Hannah, he would send me a Zoom link. And he'd, like, calm me down. He's like, let's breathe. Let's just breathe in, breathe out. Where are you? I was in a cafe. He's like, get a coffee. Let's just sit and chat. And he was trying to not talk about the race.
Yeah.
Because I went crazy. I was like, but this one, and then there was this corner. And then he was like, Hannah, calm down. it's a normal race. Yeah. It's just the name. Forget the name.
Yeah.
I'm like, but, and like he tried to drift the conversation. I wasn't even listening to him. I'm like, but listen, there is also this elevation that was in this corner. He's like, Hannah, calm down. And it was actually crazy. Like I remember my sleep the week coming up to the race. I was just twitching and I was waking up from my twitches because of how stressed I was. And 2 days before the race, I fell off my bike. And till now, I actually have the scar. Like I have like a big scar here. And I was like, oh my God, that's not, the race is going to be horrible. Like I have bruises everywhere. And I got into the race. And I had never, till this point, experienced a panic attack. I had no idea what on earth was happening to me. I went into the sea and my body just literally just froze. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, and I keep pushing. And I couldn't see in front of me. At that point, I didn't know whether it was my goggles or the lake was black or I just couldn't see anymore. The lake was not black. It was green. And my goggles were fine. I couldn't see. Like, I was like, my blood sugar levels dropped. And I see a boat next to me. I'm like, what the hell is this boat? I'm like, is everything okay? I'm like, okay, crap. Eventually, I got out of the sea. I was yellow. Like, there is a video of me that was coming out. I was completely yellow. I couldn't die. I was just seeing black dots. I'm trying to find my bike. And at this point, I was the last one. Maybe not the last one. No, I think I was the last one that came out of the lake. I'm like, where's my helmet? And I'm trying to, like, put it in. I was not okay. I couldn't, like, I got on my bike, and it was 6 laps. I was able to make it to my last lap before getting lapped. So I pushed myself and I was like, I want to say a good decent amount of minutes away from the first group that went out. And I got lapped. I'm like, there is no way. There is no way. So getting lapped is basically getting disqualified. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. And I remember sitting on the floor and I was like crying. Boogers are coming out of my nose. And the sports manager, Hassan, was there and he's like, Hannah, get up. And he was like trying to throw like cold water on me for me to laugh. And I'm like, Hassan, it's done. So I was very dramatic as well. Like I was a Turkish show. Like that was like the scene I gave. And I just didn't want to talk to anyone for like a good 24 hours. Like it was just my everyone knew something happened because my swim was not remotely close to. I think I finished in 33 minutes, and I was like, that's as if I've never swam like in my life, basically. So they knew something was up, but they also knew to give me some space because it was the first. Yeah. It was huge, like for me. Like I literally, in my head, I'm like, it's game over. I was doubting. I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Like I don't think I want to. Like what's the point? Like I was very negative towards myself. I'm like, I'm a joke. I'm an embarrassment. Like I did all of this and whatever. I'm like, it was very negative self talk. And my coach messages me. He's like, and I just hope you understand you literally just made history. And I still didn't register that. I was like, and I messaged him. I'm like, I'm so sorry, I embarrassed you. He's like, Hannah, what? I was thinking even more of him and everyone that has been supporting me more than myself.
Yeah.
Because my instant thought, the first thought I did was, I embarrassed my coach.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the amount, like, I can't even express to you how much we worked for. And it just didn't work out. Like, it just didn't work out, and it happens. And I learned that the extremely hard way. Sometimes things happen, and you have to be okay with it. It was the first time I was put under that much pressure in the sense of, like, media and cameras and, like, the way they announced my name. My face was, like, I could see myself while I was walking. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, I have never been put under this form of media pressure.
Yeah.
So there was so much happening. I'm like, this is so weird. I come back to Dubai. I'm like, Hannah, you cannot cry. This is fine. You're going to be fine. The second I see one of my coaches, he's like, Hannah. I'm like, Hannah. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop crying to my coach, Alessia. I couldn't stop crying to my coach, Melina, my coach, Joel. Just crying. I was like, I'd be swimming and crying. But I think I maybe even shocked them. Because I didn't stop training.
Yeah.
I got myself back the next day, next morning. I'm like, we're going back and doing this lake swim. I want to know what happened. And I did a good, decent number. And I wasn't pushing that hard either. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
So it got to me very, like, it really got to me for a good 2 months. I couldn't perform in my races. I didn't want to race.
Yeah.
Joao, my coach, was, like, he was pushing me. He's like, Hannah, just keep going, just keep going. He's like, we've mastered your body. Yeah. We've mastered your body and we can't train more. Like, you cannot train more. Yeah. Your load cannot exceed this.
Yeah.
But what we can do is now train your mind.
Yeah.
So from that moment on, I had a sports psychologist and a sports life coach, and we trained my mind. So I went in back. So the Asia Cup, this one was actually, putting aside anything, it was the biggest testament to all the mental work we've been working on. And I went in for the first time in an elite race. I wasn't stressed. I wasn't overthinking. I was just waiting for the race to happen. And I finished the race, and then it hit me, and I couldn't stop crying from happiness. I'm like, I said, my coach, I'm like, Joa, I did the race. And I was crying. I'm like, no laughing, no disqualification. And he's like, you could do it. Like, I'm telling you, you could do it. I'm like, I could. It's happening. And within all this period, like, I also proved to myself in a lot of other races, like, getting the types of podiums I was getting and stuff, and the improvements in my numbers. I'm like, okay, it was literally that. It was just that day that I couldn't perform. And it takes a huge, and I don't think a lot of people talk about it, but like, I was so sad for so long. I didn't feel like myself. I was so, I became not shy, but like, I just felt embarrassed.
Yeah, you go back into a shell, right?
Go back in the shell, but it's literally because of like the people I was around, like my coaches and like my coach Joao, the amount of meetings he's had with me as I was just crying. Like, I remember one of them, I was like, listen, I think we aim for LA 2028, not Paris. Looks at me, he's like, why? This was after the Asia Games. I'm like, because you saw what happened. Like, it's like, he's like, no, Hannah, we aim for Paris. I'm like, but what happened? He's like, this happened. I'm like, but that. He's like, no. I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'm like, I guess it is what it is. Like, we keep going. And that was like the first crying meeting. He had like another 17 of them. but here we are.
Yeah.
You know, here we are. And this is where I mean, like, it's so important to surround yourself by people like this.
Yeah.
That he literally, like, he was my eyes when I couldn't see. He was my backbone when I couldn't stand. He was my ears when I couldn't hear it. Like, he was basically making me move without me even moving.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And things happen and you can't control them.
Yeah.
And something my life coach tells me, she's a control the controllable. So that's something I keep telling myself. Prior to the Asia Cup in Malaysia, so many things were just going wrong. I'm like, you know something? What am I going to do now? Like, it's let me just go. And I went and it worked out. So it's like my philosophy now. I'm like, control the controllable. Things you can't control, why am I stressing about? And I'm a person that could get very anxious because I like order.
Yeah.
And when it's not in order, like, it's like I'm in limbo. So it's a journey, but like, you go through a lot of downs.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the character is built, though, because if Asia Games didn't happen, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to get back out there. I'm ready to put myself out there, and I'll keep doing so. It took that one bad experience for, I think, my whole mind to change.
Yeah.
Physically, I was ready. Yeah. I was never not ready.
Yeah.
But I wasn't mentally ready. And you can't tell if someone isn't mentally ready till they're put in a situation where true colors have surfaced.
Yeah.
So clearly I wasn't ready for the mentally ready for the type of pressure. And also, there was a lot of things I had to learn in the mental aspect of an athlete. Because it's one thing, that's the race, but it's also another thing, the pre-race. Yeah. How are you going in? It affects your body a lot. If you're going through something in your life, in your personal life, it affects your performance. So to your question, how do I maintain that?
Yeah.
I don't. It fluctuates. And it fluctuates to extremes. It's not even like, oh, wee. No, it fluctuates to extremes.
And that also, I think, proves a point that, again, it's a team effort.
It's a team effort. Like, triathlon is an individual sport, but it takes a village to get...
Keeping you mentally in check from time to time, at least, because you had the right people to make sure that they told you the right things when you were just sinking.
Yeah.
Rather than letting you sink, you had hands pulling you up saying, listen.
They didn't let me go. Like, and my coach, Coach Joao, saw it in my face. Like, I was defeated. I wasn't laughing. I couldn't smile. I'm a very like, I describe myself as like a SpongeBob. So like, I was just not, I didn't want to be in training. I didn't want to train. I didn't want to swim. I didn't want to run. I didn't want to race. I didn't want to do anything. I was questioning my entire goal. I was questioning everything. And he just kept reminding me. He's like, Hannah, it was one day.
Yeah.
The amount of times this happens to athletes, it's uncountable. Yeah. You've started this journey not that long ago.
Yeah.
They have started this probably at the age of 15.
Yeah.
And if you were to ask or talk to any professional athletes from the age of 15, how many times did they get disqualified?
Yeah.
How many times did something bad happen?
Yeah.
They'll give you at least a dozen times.
Yeah.
For you, your journey started late. So yes, you got this late, but it's okay. Like this is this, you have to accept it. You have to strategize after it. It's not the problem, it's the solution.
Yeah.
If it's a problem that has no solution, then it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because a problem only has a solution. So in that sense comes control the controllable.
Yeah.
If there is no solution to the problem, let it go.
Yeah.
If there is a solution, find a solution and do it.
True.
So that's the philosophy. That is something, but like it's, I've never understood how I think it was Tokyo 2020 where a girl pulled out of the Olympics because of her mental health. I never understood that till the Asia Games.
Mm.
You get smacked left, right, centered from the top, from the bottom, and you can't see beyond it.
Yeah.
Your mental health can just sink.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it till that period.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how does someone, like, sports is good for the mind? Like, how is your mental health bad because of sports? Mm. But I understand that. But yeah, so to your question again, there is no control. It's you take it day by day. Whatever is coming towards you, you deal with it then.
Yeah.
And the discipline, that's where it turned into a habit. So I don't do 4 a.m. wake up calls. I refuse. I like my 7 a.m. wake up calls if they're possible.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's because of my team. Like one of my athletes, colleagues, I want to say, is that the term, colleagues? Tonya, she would, like, we plan, like, we make deals. It's like, okay, Wednesday we have track, we make a deal, I will be on track. Like, I'm a woman of my word, yeah, so yeah. I agree, I'm going to do something, yeah. I'll say I'll do it.
Yeah.
So she really holds me accountable to my timings as well. Like, even this morning, she was, we were meant to meet at 6:30. I was 15 minutes late. I told her, I'm like, I'm 15 minutes late, but I will be there. Typically, if I was training with myself, I'll go whenever I want to go. Like, but then that's like, it disrupts your entire day because then you have other trainings. It turns into a mess.
Yeah.
But Tony holds me accountable a lot. And my coach, like, he'll send me a message like 2 minutes before like a training. He's like, are you here? I'm like, yeah, just a few minutes late, Start. but yeah, it takes a village.
Yeah.
Doing it alone is, I wouldn't recommend.
Yeah. And I think the last thing I would want to ask you is, what would you want to say to the little ones out there, the girls and the boys or the parents, that, you know, if somebody wants to get into being an athlete or getting into being something that, you know, they feel is not possible, what would you want to tell them? How do you start or, you know, begin this journey of, you know, becoming?
Well, beginning the journey, I would say just start. There is no, like, I started my journey using Google. And I would also say, no, I don't use Google, like, but do start. If you need to use Google, use it. But don't underestimate yourself. There is a quote I follow, not follow, like, I always think of when a good thing happens, is the underdog has more bite than a football, which is very true. Someone that has talent could go only so far, but someone that's hardworking will surpass the talent. And that is proven over and over and over. Because someone that's not talented and goes into a sport, they have a lot more to prove. So what do they need to do? They need to train a lot more.
Yeah.
They have a mentality that they know that they are not the best, but how do they become the best? They have to fight 10 times more. They have to train so much more. They need to do things that the talent wouldn't be doing. They wouldn't be following the talent's path. They'd be making their own path. And with that comes a lot of positives, things that the talent would be lazy at.
Yeah.
So at some point, the talented become lazy and the underdogs become those pit bulls. And then you look at the underdogs and assume that they've always been talented.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's the talent that got lazy and it's the underdog that kept fighting.
Yeah.
So, and I think anyone could do anything. It's not, it literally just takes training. And if there's something I could show the world, is I didn't come from a pro background, but here I am on the elite path. Here I am aiming for the Olympics. Why am I different to anyone else? I'm not.
Yeah.
I just decided I want something. Why I wanted it. How am I going to get it? And made it happen. And continue to keep making it happen.
Yeah.
So it's a conscious decision every day. Because I want to say 70% of the time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I don't want to train now.
Yeah, yeah.
People think they're like, oh, but you enjoy it so much. I'm like, yeah, I love it once it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I say, yeah. But in the moment, like, I'd say running is the only thing I get excited about.
Yeah.
And swimming now.
Yeah.
But like cycling, I'm like, it's like, because it's also hours. You're just like, I know it's going to be like a 3-hour ride, you know, and you're just sitting in this bicycle and you're like paddling. Yeah. So I don't look forward to that, but like, it's a choice.
Yeah.
So I tell every parent and every kid, if you want something and want it bad enough, what's going to stop you?
Yeah.
If, let's say it's that you need financial support for it, find a way. There are so many sources. Let's say if you're in the UAE, there are so many types of funding schemes that people could apply for. Maybe not per se for in the athlete field, but there's also ways of getting investors, maybe family members, maybe friends or companies that believe in you or believe in your vision. It's talking to some schools, maybe talking to some universities. There's a way. It's very simple. Like it may be hard, will be hard, but if you really want something, then never use the excuse of like, oh, I'm just not talented.
Yeah.
Cause that's not an excuse. If you really want something, you could get it. Like, I'm not talented in swimming, biking or running. I would say I'm from all three. My background is running, so I am best at that.
Yeah.
But I'm no talent. And nor, like, there's so many, like, let's say there's Beth Potter. She's one of the most well-known triathletes. She was not a born talent either. Her background was running. She was not a swimmer. She became a professional athlete that got into the Olympics and is still competing on an extremely high level. Wow. She is holding the ranking of number one in the entire world.
Wow.
She does not have a background. She was a school teacher. She had no background in swimming, no background in cycling. She wanted to do something. Here she is. So there are so many examples you could give in that, in the professional like league, where they've had backgrounds of they weren't good whatsoever in the sport, but they became good because of consistency, because of solution-based thinking, and driven by a purpose, driven by something that is much bigger and much bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
So that's essentially what it takes. So if a child or anyone, frankly, obviously there's certain limitations. Like, let's say you're 80 years old and you want to do it. It's like, okay, there's biology that plays a role.
Yeah.
Don't be 80 years old thinking that you're going to run a 5K in 10 minutes. Like, that's not. So it's also being realistic. So looking at like science-backed research about certain things before deciding to do something.
Yeah.
But essentially, anyone could do anything.
Yeah.
So it's finding a way to do it. Like, it's and to all the parents in the world, do not put your kids in boxes. Let them decide what they want. Like, that is something I will firmly say over and over. Your kid is not living the parent's life. The kid's living its life. So it's a reminder. Like, it's, they want to go and become a professional football player. Maybe they will. Why not? So it's
that's the most important thing, I think. So, Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time, sharing a little bit of your journey, but the most important part of your journey today. And I know from what I've seen and heard, like, you know, you are here to bring so much change. And I know I'm that's hoping, going to be happening, because your first trait is stubbornness. And
you gotta love those stubborn people.
You are gonna make it happen. Yeah. So I only wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
And I am looking forward to having you here maybe after a couple of months or of a year to hear all that happened within that time.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, I know. All the very best for your journey towards the Olympics. I know that is in the radar and... Yeah. It's going to be happening,
inshallah.
And we are all here going to be cheering you.
Inshallah, inshallah.
So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for taking the time as well.
It was amazing.
I really appreciate
talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.